views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living, LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy. Here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Hello, this is Karen Benton, and welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so honored to be a regular guest host for Colette Steffen on her powerful show every third Wednesday of the month. Stay tuned for the next hour as we explore cutting-edge information and experiences to assist you in solving life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives. Podcasts are available for every show at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm, and for the shows that I host every third Wednesday of the month, you can also find those at karenbetton.com. The energetic shifts are available and accessible through the Higher Self Network if you are listening in after. It is my honor and pleasure to share life-transforming information with you and provide the opportunity to call in live with comments, questions, or shares. My guests and I will support you to delete energetic weaknesses to shift challenges into possibilities. We love to hear from you. Feel free to call in 1-800-930-2819. So I am really excited about my guest today. The topics we are going to be exploring are very near and dear to my heart. It's really the impetus for my expansion into different ways of looking at health and wellness way back in 2000 when I was pregnant with my daughter. My guest is Anne Margolis, and she is a two-time number one national and international best-selling author of, now hold on to your hats, these are quite titles, Natural Birth Secrets, an insider's guide to how to give birth holistically, healthfully, and safely, and love the experience. I mean, who wouldn't want to read that? And also, Trauma Release Formula, the revolutionary step-by-step program for eliminating effects of child abuse, trauma, emotional pain, and crippling inner stress to live in joy without drugs or therapy. Anne's work, insights, and advice have been seen on TV shows and in movies, including 4 episodes of A Baby Story on the Discovery Channel, and the award-winning feature documentary Orgasmic Birth, and the Human Longevity Project. She's been interviewed for multiple local, national, and international radio programs, such as this one. And Anne has also been a featured speaker and expert panelist at distinguished events for the Weill Cornell School of Medicine, the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, and the RCC State University of New York School of Nursing, and the BirthNet Association of Childbirth Professionals and the Hudson Valley Birth Network. We could just go on and on and on about all the amazing thing that Anne had done. She also, which I find incredibly interesting, has been focusing on clarity breathwork and femme healing movement workshops that are hosted at several yoga studios and wellness centers, including the Conscious High Vibration and Transformational Community at the Assemblage in New York City. And I can't leave this out. You're also a proud founding member of the Health and Wellness Business Association, which was created to promote initiatives that support better collaboration, which is so key to our future, interaction and ethical business practices within the health and wellness community. She has midwived mamas and babies for over 2 decades and guides individuals to, and this is the part that I love, to birth themselves as healthy and whole human beings capable of immense joy and inner peace. I'm going to say that twice. It's so beautiful. Guides individuals to birth themselves. That's what we all need to know is possible, as healthy and whole human beings capable of immense joy and inner peace. Her clients describe her as passionate, sensitive, big-hearted, and a playful ball of light. And I'm so honored to have you here. And I couldn't leave anything out at all. It's such a contribution to the incredible amount of expansion and transformation that is required for us to move forward with the challenges that so many of us are facing. So welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
I actually had a home birth in our area here, and I didn't know about you years and years ago. I think my youngest is 11. So, it's really feels full circle to me because it was my initiation into, the incredible wealth of information that's available for those seeking alternative practices in the field of childbirth that opened me up to possibilities that had not previously been available to me as a nurse practitioner. So Anne, tell us, really, what drove you to become a midwife? Like, how did you desire to be exploring, you know, because even back then it was not a incredibly well-known path for the mainstream world.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. When I went to Penn School of Nursing, when I did my OB rotation, I knew I wanted to be involved with helping moms and babies and their families, but I didn't necessarily know of a midwife at that time. And so when I was working as a nurse, back in those days, was it ninth? I had to, you have to do a year of med surge nursing before you can actually be an obstetric nurse. But then I was an obstetric nurse in a local hospital, which was a pretty typical local hospital for several years. And it was there that I developed fear of birth. It was there that I saw birth as, it was like treated as a crisis, as a potential disaster waiting to happen. It was considered a potential lawsuit. And I was in more operating rooms than delivery rooms. And I had to, as a nurse, rescue a lot of the problems caused by routine interventions that were done to just everybody coming in to have a baby when all was well, when they were, you know, when they were healthy. And I was not seeing great outcomes. I'm very sensitive, you know, when I see a baby or a mother damaged by interventions, or worse, I take that to heart. I can't just brush that off. And I felt my hands were tied as a nurse. You know, I was kind of having to rescue problems that were caused, and I didn't have the power, the authority to do anything really about it. And but it really wasn't until my own birth on that unit that really sinked in. So I was coming in to birth on the unit where I work. So I was coming in with fear already because I didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust, and I was young. I was only 24, 23 when I had my first. But I didn't trust the hospital and I didn't trust the staff because I knew what went on.
Exactly.
And, I was given the royal treatment. Oh, one of our nurses, you know, is having a baby, you know. So, of course, I was given the royal treatment, but I was given the standard treatment. And what's mind-blowing is it's still going on today. What I'm going to tell you what happened to me, I hear it from thousands and thousands of women. And that's, you know, how I help, you know, I got really into helping people with birth trauma. So basically what happened to me was I went in and was, you know, the first intervention, which we think is innocuous, was to take off your clothes and put on a hospital gown. You know, that's what we all do. That's what I did. That's what I was told to do. But that begins the depersonalization, that the dehumanization, the disempowerment, you know, also like an assembly line, like it gave me a sense that I'm sick, something's wrong with me, and that you guys know how to help me. Like I gave over my power, like, okay, I don't know what's happening. Something's wrong with me. And, you know, I'm now putting my power in, you know, giving my, I'm giving the responsibility to the hospital and the staff to deal with whatever's happening to me.
Yeah. It's like the institution, right? Put the clothes on. And
Right. You know, I just become right. And so then I'm, you know, of course told not to eat or drink, wasn't allowed to eat or drink. And you know, aside from that's totally against all evidence in terms of, you know, a woman in labor need to eat and drink. It's a very athletic event for the body. All athletes, I mean, aside from the medical research that's coming out showing that actually what we've known for thousands of years, that it's important for women to eat and drink in labor. But it's beneficial, like it's necessary. And starving them actually hurts labor, you know, but any athlete, like running the marathon, the 26-mile marathon, no athlete would ever advise doing that without fuel, without oral fuel and hydration. So the muscles don't work well, right? So then I was also told I couldn't move. I had to like lie in bed attached to a continuous electronic fetal monitor that was monitoring every contraction and every heartbeat of my baby. And we think that that's what's necessary, but multiple studies have shown that that not only has not improved baby outcome at all, it's increased cesarean by 3 to 5 times that of not using continuous electronic monitoring. So it's going against gravity. Women in labor need to be up and need to be moving. And when they're encouraged to move and be upright, that's using not only gravity, but increases the diameter of the pelvis. And it helps ease labor because women will instinctually know to move in positions that are more comfortable or more helpful and help the baby get into the position and navigate down through the birth canal. So I did, you know, so already I was, you know, then attached to an IV and I was basically set up to fail. But this is like standard routine intervention. No animal would be able to labor like this. So what happened is every hour the doctor came in and stuck his hand up me without asking and would walk out. And I heard him outside the room telling my colleague, She's still four. And of course I was still four. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't progressing. How can you progress under these circumstances? And then I heard him say, hang pit. Now, I didn't want pit, but I know what pit is. It's Pitocin. It's the synthetic hormone that makes everything harder, longer, faster, speeds things up, more intense. And I knew the cascade of interventions and I didn't, you know, I was afraid of Pitocin. And so when the nurse came in and was putting it in my IV, I told her, I don't want Pit, you know, her response was very well-meaning, but she said, honey, you don't want a cesarean, do you? So of course, you know, now I'm vulnerable. Of course, that was my biggest fear. I'm an athlete. I'm a dancer. I was afraid of the major abdominal surgery. I have seen women die. I have seen babies die. And I was scared of that. And but she kind of, you know, feared me into it. And it wasn't her intention to do that. But that statement feared me into it. And then, of course, my coping went out the window and I heard the doctor say, give her an epidural. And, you know, then they're giving me this big needle in my back and to the fluid around the spinal cord. And then the worst fear happened. My worst fear happened is that my baby's heart rate dropped to a very dangerously low level. And I knew then that they had minutes to get me out, my baby out. Mm-hmm. And I became an emergency cesarean, stat section. I saw everybody's panic in their eyes. And I was whisked off to the operating room where I had worked as a nurse a number of times. So I knew what we were doing. And then I'm in the operating room alone, waiting for the assistant surgeon. And I was looking at the clock, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then, you know, then it was 15, a half an hour. And at that point, then it became 45 minutes and then an hour. And I had moved in my brain and in my body from my baby's going to be, you know, severely impaired to she's going to be dead. I mean, she's dead. The worst hour of my life up until that point. And at some miracle, the meds took over my body, and I started pushing. So I must have gone to fully open, and I started pushing, and I called out for help. The assistant surgeon had still not come. So here I was in a hospital setting where you think it's supposed to be safe, and it's an hour that they had not gotten my baby out when they had minutes. So I was pushing, and the doctor, I heard him, like, he was panicking. He was screaming out, get me a vacuum. He cut a big episiotomy and vacuumed, like put a suction cup on my baby's head and pulled her out. And I couldn't look at her because I was afraid of, yeah, I couldn't look at my baby who was dead. And the doctor said, look at your baby. She's fine. She's fine. And I was not fine. Right. So number one, that was a false diagnosis of fetal distress when there was no fetal distress. Yeah. That is responsible for so many unnecessary cesareans, because the monitoring has really failed us in terms of really, detecting, or preventing oxygen deprivation and cerebral palsy and things like that. Where we think it is working, right? It doesn't always do that, and I would have ended up with an unnecessary cesarean. But then what happened is I ended up with an unnecessary episiotomy, and that was infected for months, and then they and birth. So I had what PTSD. I did not know at the time what I know now, but that was birth trauma. I was totally traumatized by that experience. Yeah. And my second birth, you know, I swore I was never having another baby. And of course I'm pregnant two years later. And,
did you know how you get pregnant?
Yeah, of course, you know, I'm a nurse, but I knew how I got pregnant, but, it wasn't a planned pregnancy. Yeah. I was no way ready to deal with it. And I had a very similar experience, even though I switched doctors. And so after that and working in that hospital, I remember saying, we didn't have internet back then. And I remember saying to a friend of mine, you know, my frustrations with this system. And she said, why don't you just become a midwife? And I said, what's a midwife?
Right.
This was back in the, you know, in the 80s. And, you know, I just hadn't heard of a midwife. So she told me, and I was like, wow, you know, I went to the library and I researched as much as possible. I applied. And when I got in and went to the school, I came home. I literally, this was like, wow, this is how birth has always been. This is how it's meant to be. It was a complete shift in a paradigm. The crises, you know, became more of the rare exception. And actually it was restoring the power back to the woman and the confidence that her body knows how to birth, like she knows how to breathe.
Yeah.
And that the best intervention is no intervention, you know, and it was just a whole, you know, it restored the humanity and the family centered, aspect of having a baby. It was a normal part of life around the world, in many countries still is. And anyway, so I was pregnant in midwifery school with my third. And I said, at this time I'm using a midwife, and I really believed in this model of care. But I told my midwife, I said, you know, I believe in this, but I'm actually a wuss. I'm a wimp. I've been through it twice. I was traumatized. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. And in order for me to be a midwife and authentically promote this and help women, I have to, you know, feel it in my bones. I have to feel it in my soul. I have to do it. And she was like, oh my gosh, don't worry. You're going to be fine. You're going to see. It's going to be so healing. And she was so right. You know, yeah. I had the most beautiful healing birth too, actually. I have four, so two in that way. And it not only convinced me that if I could do this, anyone can do it. If yeah. I could heal from my birth trauma, anyone can do it. But that I could really authentically stand by any woman and help her give birth in her power, in her confidence, and love the experience. Yes, it's challenging. It's the most challenging, healthy experience a person can have, but they find their strength and it works. And the more I do, the more I'm humbled, the more I'm in awe about this wisdom, the brilliance in this process. And how we've totally, you know, mucked it up by interfering in it. It's like
it's like this idea that the intellect has power over the inner wisdom. And I so resonate with what you're speaking of how there's this inner intelligence, and it is so much more profound than anything our intellect can wrap our head around, and tapping into that inner intelligence. And I also so resonate with what you're speaking of, because when I met my home birth midwife, her name was Miriam Schwarzschild. I had two. Yes, she's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I had my first one in the hospital as well, and like you, was on staff at Columbia Presbyterian. And, you know, again, same thing, took a really long time, and everything turned out fine. She developed a fever. She was whisked off to the ICU, which of course then had me face to face with another nurse of, you know, like, no, yep. I'm going to nurse this baby, you know, and this whole right. experience. But when I met my midwife, I speak of that when I give talks as one of the second most poignant moments in my life of recognizing the power of energy. And this woman believed in my body, what became right. clear to me, more than I did.
Right.
And I had a clear distinction of how my whole body relaxed just in her presence because of her belief in it. And
absolutely.
I literally like sat there and looked in her eyes and I was like, you actually believe my body is capable of doing this. And like, she looked at me and she's like, yeah, cause it is. And I mean, right. I still get chills of that because some of us, and not everyone, right? Some people they're not, this is not their cup of tea, but We are wired that we feel these things deeply, and that energetic support, that knowingness of the intelligence that lies within the framework of our own body mind is ready to be respected and honored in a way that cannot be laid out rationally, right? Except someone like you who so eloquently speaks about that. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, because you're so knowledgeable about some of the statistics about maternal and newborn outcomes and developed countries being superior, and continue to explore this. And anyone out there who's had similar experiences that wants to call in, please do. The number is 1-800-930-2819. Otherwise, this will just be available to all of us to explore and open to what's possible for many of us that have felt that our internal wisdom is ready to take the lead when it comes to our own lives and to childbirth and to resolution of the traumas in our lives. So we will be right back after this break and to make some more shift happen.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. transform your relationships, and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit yournextchaptercoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
We are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Karen Benton, and I'm filling in for Colette today as the monthly guest host. My guest today is Anne Margolis. And before we continue, can you, Anne, please share your contact information with our audience?
So, home sweet home birth, birth.com. And that's the website. And on Facebook, it's also Home Sweet Home Birth. And on Instagram, it's Home Sweet Home Birth. And it's interesting because I support that Home Sweet Home Birth in all settings, whether, you know, because not everybody has access to home birth midwives or wants to have a home birth or financially can afford it or have complications that would require them to be birthing in a hospital, they can still have a home sweet home birth experience in a hospital setting. So that's what I've been helping people do, you know.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, in the break, we were having a great discussion, which could have gone on and on. I wish the air could have heard it. But what I really want to do is, you spoke about the trauma of this experience for you, which I think may reach a wide audience because I too had a similar type of experience. And what I'd like to have you discuss is how can this show up in the body? So for people who think, oh yeah, I had that trauma, but it doesn't really bother me. How can these traumatic experiences show up in the body mind? Would you know it right away? Could it show up later on?
Well, I had the classic symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which only they, now, I mean, there's studies in psychology and trauma and neurology and, And we started studying trauma really after the Vietnam War, when the soldiers were coming back with the symptoms. But you can have those same symptoms after any sort of horrific, you know, experience, intense, extreme, you know, where life and death is in the balance there. And it could be after a severe accident. It could be after a loss. It could be from abuse. There's, you know, rape. It could be from any kind of stress, right? It's not just, you know, I mean, war is huge, but there's so many other times where, there's the World Health Organization takes birth trauma so seriously, and they equate it with the same effects as rape, because it's a Improving Birth is a grassroots organization who coined the term obstetric violence that is happening in labor and delivery units, especially in our country, at such a huge rate. One third of the population describes their birth experience as traumatic, and it's not necessarily what, you know, related to the actual complication. What it's more related to is things done without the person's consent. It's also, you know, involving the most of our intimate sexual areas, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Very private. It's you know, and if, especially if the woman, and also babies feel the effects of trauma, but if a woman is feared into things, if she's not treated with respect, or especially if they're not treated with regard to the huge psychological impact of birth on both mother and baby. So the symptoms of PTSD, you know, are many, and I was getting nightmares, flashbacks, recurrent memories, recurrent thoughts of the birth that would be very disturbing. I couldn't talk about it. Any trigger that would remind me about the birth would like get me into this huge panic attack. Now, I didn't, you know, I had anxiety. I couldn't sleep. I was hypervigilant with my daughter. I was afraid something was going to happen to her. I mean, I had all those symptoms. But it can also show up because the body never lies. So because human beings are cultured in this culture, especially to repress and suppress any uncomfortable feeling, or numb out or drug it and bury in busyness and denial. So then it's going to show up in the body with back pain, chronic migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, you know, in heartburn, high blood pressure, and even cancer. And, you know, I mean, we're, you know, all kinds of chronic inflammatory and autoimmune diseases. So
on the break that I thought was, you just, even just that simple, which is often overlooked, is anxiety.
Oh,
right. You know, and like we shared, both of us at different times in our lives, being told that we needed medication for that, and unprocessed traumas, undigested things that have not moved through us can certainly show up in anxiety. Right. Which is just essentially, there's a conflict, an internal conflict. Right. Someone's telling me to do something versus what I want to do with my truth, which is, again, what I love about your introduction about the rebirthing of a woman and her connection to her power to partake in her own life.
Right. And just so it doesn't say, I mean, it's very well backed by literature and research. We study trauma by looking at the animal responses to trauma. We know the trauma states. Peter Levine, who is very, you know, Peter Levine, he's the doctor of somatic experience, which is really the cutting edge research on how to release and release the energy of the trauma and reset the nervous system. But anyway, what's interesting about animals, all animals, when they're exposed to a trauma, which would be, let's say, a predator in the wild. So a gazelle is you know, minding his or her own business, and then a tiger comes. So they're going to have the sympathetic nervous system. They're going to have fear. But it's a wired protective response, because they're given that huge amount of energy and all sorts of biological changes within their body, so that they either fight the tiger, which a gazelle will lose, run for its life, or they freeze and play dead. So and if they make it to safety, all animals will shake it off, and they just shake. and they resume, they reset their nervous system, and they resume being in the calm, sort of alert parasympathetic nervous system. So this is, we're learning now, we're knowing now, and it's confirmed with a lot of research, that trauma is held in the body as trapped energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's why I love the breath work and the work that I do is it helps. It totally saved my life, but it, you know, I've seen it countless times in rooms of huge amounts of work, you know, people in workshops or in private, how, you know, it just resets the nervous system and releases the energy. Like, you don't even have to know about it, think about it, because you're in a semi-conscious state and your body just resets. It's like turning off and on the computer. It's amazing how effective it is.
Yeah. Which then allows you to partake in life, right? Like really experience the true potential for joy and your potential for you to actually partake in creating that joy where no one else can give you what you don't give yourself. Right.
Like
it's such a powerful, often unrecognized aspect of life. You know, we're so many of us are focused on the external world as being the source of our joy, and it's an internal thing.
It's an inside job. Totally. Yeah, don't give that power to anybody. Oh yeah. And hospitals, they really care about is, you know, get them in, get them out. And is mother and baby breathing, you know, just basic physical health. And they're just missing the boat. They're just, it's, you know, many.
Well, let's throw that in there. Can you give us, so how is our country doing in terms of maternal and newborn outcome stats?
Unfortunately, horrid. It's that's why I do what I do. I've gone global with, you know, social media, trying to do my part because our country despite being the most affluent and very highly advanced, interventive, technological, culture, our country spends, the most money on obstetric care than any other developed country. We rank the worst in terms of maternal morbidity and mortality, meaning we are losing more moms in the process of childbirth than any other developed country in the world. In fact, our maternal mortality rates are increasing while the other countries are decreasing, and that includes countries that are less affluent.
That is so astounding because if you listen to media, right? That's no one's speaking of that.
Well,
I mean, why isn't that on NBC or ABC?
Whoa, my goodness. It's been covered. It's just, you know, look, I mean, there's they choose, you know, his story is his story, right? They decide what they want to cover. But it's if you Google, you know, United States maternal mortality rates, it will come up there. The same thing with newborn, babies dying and having devastating consequences from the birth experience. Our rates are the worst as compared to other developed countries. Yeah. And we look at countries around the world, who's doing the best, right? So Marsden Wagner, who was a high risk obstetrician, which is called a perinatologist. And he was the former maternal child department, World Health Organization director of that, you know, department. And he's written many scholarly well-researched articles, been on many documentaries, he's written many books, and he is very outspoken, on midwives. He loves midwives, and people ask him why. He says, because I look at the research, I look at the stats. If you look at countries around the world that have the best outcomes, it's the, you know, countries like, you know, Scandinavia, you know, Norway, Sweden, Holland, the UK, Japan, the countries where, what do they have in common? That the low-risk healthy population, which constitutes the vast majority, see midwives. And that's the midwives are their specialty, actually. They have extensive schooling and training. In New York, it's a master's degree training on normal, right? On helping the normal woman through her teenage to menopause years, normal childbearing. And of course, screening for complications and, preventing problems. And of course, we learn how to intervene when necessary. But that's the profession that has proven around the world to get the best outcome. But it's not just that alone. They must work in team with obstetricians. In those countries, obstetricians are for the high risk population, are there for their training. They're surgeons, they're thank God, their expertise is medical and surgical interventions and diagnosing and treating things medically and surgically for people that need that, right? So when you have the OB and the midwife working together as a team, you are best serving the entire population of people having babies. What's happening in the United States is that high risk sort of interventive obstetric care is given to every pretty much routinely to everybody, unless you know they are making a decision to have a different kind of care.
Yeah.
That's routine, and then we're getting the poor outcomes because then intervention it becomes harmful. All medical doctors in training have to take the Hippocrates oath, which is first do no harm, and intervention then becomes harmful when all is well. And it's interesting because I was in a conference. Have you heard of Dr. Michel Audin? He's a very famous French obstetrician who's very supportive of midwifery and undisturbed birth. And he now does home births in England. But I heard him speak at a conference, this was brilliant. He said, "What is the best intervention that an attendant?" You know, he was speaking to 500 midwives, but let's say an attendant midwife or obstetrician should do at a birth. What is the best intervention? Well, what would you think he would say?
The best intervention. See, I'm going to say being present, following the woman's path.
Yeah. Okay. Well, similar. But he was even more, with tongue in cheek, he said to knit. K-N-I-T, which everybody was laughing, but it's brilliant because, a lot of midwives knit, but with a woman in labor. Midwife means to be with woman, but why knit? Because number one, kind of what you said before, it was the calmness and it was the belief that that your midwife had energetically, she believed in you. She knew your body was able to do it. And all, she exudes that calm and confidence, and it's contagious. You're going to pick that up.
So
think of a seasoned midwife sitting alongside a laboring woman knitting. She's seen thousands of births. Believe me, she knows when something's wrong, and she also knows when all is well. And when she is so calm that she can knit, That calms contagious, and that's going to go to the woman, and the woman's going to have a much easier labor versus.
Oh my goodness! Time goes
panic.
So fast, and we have to take another break. But this is quantum physics at its basics, right? Like, we are impacted by the observer, how we observe ourselves, and how we observe others.
And of course, she can put the knitting down if she has to intervene.
Right.
Of course, but that keeps her hands occupied. Everybody, so she doesn't meddle with something.
You find that other place. Well, this is fantastic. We need to take another break, so we'll be right back. You can call in if you like, 1-800-930-2819. We're having this really exciting, amazing, eye-opening discussion with the awesome Ann Margolis, and we will be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
This is Karen Benton, and I am filling in for Colette today and every third Wednesday of the month. I have Anne Margolis here with me, and we have been discussing childbirth and trauma and new and opening, changing long-held practices, the childbirth and mortality rates and trauma rates that are going on in our country, where we rank, and opening all of us to these unbelievable possibilities for bringing a new and science-based potential that supports the woman and her wisdom as she explores and experiences the incredible sacred container of childbirth and birthing and mothering. But this also can be applied to any experience in life as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we are always birthing something, right? Whether it's a child or an idea
yep.
or a relationship or a career.
Ourselves.
And we can't limit that. And just bringing it back around to recognizing on a deeper and deeper level every day our role in that, and that we are the navigators of us, and no one knows what is most aligned for us but us. We can explore things like you and I are doing and open up people's minds, but they're the ones, right? And it's funny, I find that anger and anxiety is the emotion that comes up when we are ready for change. And yet our society often denigrates these emotions as something that should not happen, whereas they're indications that we are ready for change. We are ready to become more truly ourselves. We are coming in conflict with some idea that no longer holds true for us, and we're ready to shave the hold that it has on us to live a more freer life, which ultimately Nice. Leads to joy. And I sense that that's really what you're speaking of, you know, in this incredible container of childbirth, is bringing the woman back into the role of being the center of intelligence, the center of wisdom, and guided by other women that are deeply aware of the power of that.
And taking back the birth, you know, her birth. So when I said, so to connect with the billions of women before her that have given birth, that the, you know, the three,
yes.
over the, since the course of history, the 300,000 yeah. women
stir up birth.
Yeah, and the 300,000 women that are giving birth on as she's giving birth, and that yes. 4 million people a year give birth in this country, and to think that one third of them are describing their rebirth as traumatic, that's huge.
Right.
You know, that's why I hear from so many women. And in the femme, you know, is in part of the work that I do with helping women heal is getting out of their left brain and getting into the rest of who they are and actually loving, just like, you know, there's sun and rain, there's joy and pain, there's the perfect weather day, there's big, huge storms. So we have, you know, to be fully alive, we need to embrace who we are. And we do feel grief sometimes. We do feel sad. We do feel anger. We do feel confident. We can feel sensual. We can feel animal. We can feel primal. We can feel angry, you know, and we can feel joy. We can feel such joy. And it when people get out of their logical brain and get into the rest of their body in a space where they're encouraged to express themselves, I love watching how they can easily tap into it. You know, some women, you know, I tell people, you know, women and men, you know, I've done workshops like if you're feeling uncomfortable and out of your comfort zone, it's exactly then we're going in the right direction.
Yes. So agree with that. It's so true. Yes. And for everyone out there, right? Discomfort is you're going there, you're moving, you're changing.
And
you are becoming more truly you. Yeah.
Truth. Be unapologetically yourself and embrace your inner bitch. Embrace
this,
you know, we it's appropriate to be angry, not, you know, at certain things, not to beat people up, but there's ways to move that anger through your body and then turn it on or you know, and I have all that. That's part of the workshop.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to totally bring you back another time. And I want to go into that. I would love to hear all of your incredible knowledge about transforming this trauma that, you know, unknowingly is housed in our body from the various experiences. And we spoke briefly, but, you know, even when you're faced with what seems hopeless, you know, whether you have something like a placenta previa or you have, you know, these diagnoses and these labels that say the desired childbirth that you are looking for is impossible, explore with people that are available that believe in the incredible wisdom, because these things can move and change and it can actually be joyful along the way when we open to what they're offering us, as opposed to that sort of that mindset, which is very left brain oriented, right? That says this is wrong, right? That whatever
it's patriarchal, it's very patriarchal.
Yeah. Which again, keep in mind, right? We all have feminine and masculine in us, right?
That absolutely, but
to use both aspects of it. But being aware that the feminine is, I mean, I love that feminine is rising, right? Like we're becoming,
honor our divine feminine, honor that inner, that part of us, because we are not, you know, women, we have an emotional body, you know, and as a yoga teacher, I mean, I teach this too, but I bring it into midwifery or how I help people with trauma is we're just not a brain. We're not our thoughts. We're not our emotions. We're an entire being, mind, body, heart, and spirit. We have a family. We're not just a uterus, you know? And then another thing I wanted to say is that sometimes, yes, you know, sometimes, because people ask me this question, sometimes a placenta previa or sometimes there is a complication, there is a devastating outcome there is a birth that does not go as you planned, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no failure in birth. So that's another thing that I try to help women do is to see when things happen that are what we label as bad. Is there a gift in it? You know, is there a silver lining? Is there, you know, maybe this is something, you know, because I think everything comes to us from the universe, from spirit, whatever your, you know, belief system is for our benefit. You know, maybe there's a lesson here. Maybe this is something where I need, you know, and I have seen, you know, with my own, I had a daughter who was terminally ill. Needed a bone marrow transplant when she was in her teens. And there was, you know, that was a wake up call. I've been through, when there really seriously was, 8 years of a horrible diagnosis and doing all the alternative modalities and nothing's working. And then, you know, having the doctor say, you know, I've been there and, you know, part of that was when I was going through it, it was hell, but part of the, thankfully she survived and she has three, you know, she's babies now. And when she's told she was never going to have babies from the chemo, but when, as a mother going through that, I had a choice. I could crawl up in a ball like I wanted to do in a fetal position. Why me? Right. Or I got into Bernie Siegel and the people, you know, the people that, you know, well, how can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? How can I be there for her, for my family, for the rest of my clients and myself, you know, and how can I use this to transform? Right. So that's how I got into that. I'm not just speaking, oh, you know, someone, you know, you had a miscarriage, your baby died, you know, be in your joy. No, it's appropriate to have grief and anger and but
for however long is right for you. Right.
Right.
Like, there's no time limit. Yeah.
And now my daughter. So now I have become, you know, people come to me for help when their child is diagnosed with something like cancer and needs chemotherapy. Like my daughter now helps, you know, other people you can take what you've gone through and use it to help others. Use it to grow and transform.
Oh my goodness.
Yourself.
And the time, we are coming to the end.
Oh, Anne,
I love this. This is so fantastic. So you can reach Anne at www.homesweethomebirth. You can reach me at www.karenbenton.com. Colette will be back next week with the amazing weekly radio show that she has. She has a couple events, if you want to check them out online, that she has coming up as she's teaching at some different fairs and presenting, and she's got all of her modern day Dragon Slayer courses out. And please check out all of the possibilities that are out there. And thank you so much for being a part of this show and taking your time to share your incredible knowledge, your experiences, your willingness to go into the potential of humanity. I am in awe of you and your knowledge and all the amazing things you're doing to change the world. And may we all be open to what's possible for each of us. So thank you, Carter, and the callers and that are out there and the community that is listening. Colette will be back next week at 8 a.m. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth Is Funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.